13 months earlier, he and his father were running their dock, working on boats, fishing twice a week in the Gulf. He worked slowly around the concrete edge of the basketball court, where a rowdy game was in progress, then to the big sandbox where they sometimes played volleyball. In the distance, a solitary figure was walking around the track, an old-looking man with his long gray hair and a ponytail, and with no shirt. He looked vaguely familiar. Buster worked both edges of a sidewalk, making his way to the track. The lone walker was Finn Yarber, one of the judges who was trying to help him. He moved around the oval at a steady pace, head level, back and shoulders stiff and erect, not a picture of athleticism, but not bad for a 60-year-old man. He was barefoot and bare-backed, sweat rolling off his leathery skin. Buster turned off the weed eater and placed it on the ground. When Yarber drew near, he saw the kid and said, "Hello, Buster, how's it going?" "I'm still here," the kid said. "Mind if I walk with you?" "Not at all," Finn said without breaking stride. They did an eighth of a mile before Buster could find the courage to say, "So, how about my appeals?" "Judge Beach is looking at it. The sentencing appears to be in order, which is not good news. A lot of guys get here with flaws in their sentencing, and we can usually file a couple of motions and knock off a few years. Not so with you. I'm sorry." "That's okay. What's a few when you have 48? 28, 38, 48? What does it matter?" "You still have your appeals. There's a chance the decision can be overturned." "A slim chance." "You can't give up hope, Buster," Yarber said, without the slightest trace of conviction. Keeping some measure of hope meant keeping some faith in the system. Yarber certainly had none. He'd been framed and railroaded by the same law he'd once defended. But at least Yarber had enemies, and he could almost understand why they came after him. This poor boy had done nothing wrong. Yarber had read enough of his file to believe Buster was completely innocent, another victim of an overzealous prosecutor. It appeared, at least from the record, that the kid's father may have been hiding some cash, but nothing serious, nothing to warrant a 160-page conspiracy indictment. Hope. He felt like a hypocrite for even thinking the word. The appeals courts were now packed with right-wing law and order types, and it was a rare drug case that got reversed. They'd slam-dunk the kid's appeal with a rubber stamp and tell themselves they were making the streets safer. The biggest coward had been the trial judge. Prosecutors are expected to indict the world, but the judges are supposed to weed out the fringe defendants. Buster and his father should have been separated from the Colombians and their cohorts and sent home before the trial began. Now one was dead. The other was ruined. And nobody in the federal criminal system gave a damn. It was just another drug conspiracy.